Hello again, everyone, and welcome to our pregame visit with Coach Lee Fedora, head coach of your A&M Consolidated Tigers. Tigers coming off a road win, actually, and a district victory, 39-6 over the Bears of Montgomery. Coach, let's talk about what your overall take was on the football game.
Well, I thought we really came out the first half and looked very good offensively and defensively. You know, we gave up that touchdown there right before the half, but we did the things that we needed to do. We went in and made some adjustments. I don't think the first series of our second half, you know, we start out with the delay of game and then went a three and out and had a high snap on our punt. But I was real proud of how our defense handled it. We gave them the ball on the 2-yard line and didn't allow them to get any points off of it. But, you know, overall, there's things we got to fix. But, you know, we came out with a good victory.
Coach, I like the fact that you're a realist, and I am too. It's not all pie in the sky. It's the little things that can bring you down that you focus on. I get that. And from a fan of this game and watching Consol all these years, I'll tell you, 39-6 on paper looks pretty darn good, but the game seemed disjointed to me. It looked like the team really never quite got into sync in the offense right now. It's probably an unexpected concern of yours.
Well, like I told the kids, you know, we come away, the W is the most important thing, but then you got to fix the little things and get things done. You know, I thought we had some wide open guys that we overthrew that could have put up more points on the board. We did a pretty decent job when I went back and watched film and our pass protection and things like that. But just like you said, there's things we got to get better at and continue to move forward. But, you know, I thought overall, like I said, we came away with the W, and now we move forward and get ready for our next one.
Never to question any decision that coaches make, but I got to tell you, at some point, you got to step running toward Josh Ellison. If you're the offense for Montgomery, every time they went that kid's direction, I'll tell you, he is as advertised this year. And did the film bear that out?
Well, what I really like that I've seen out of Josh this year, he's taking on double teams, getting off of them and lighting them up in the backfield. But probably the most impressive thing, you know, he's lost some weight, but it's all muscle on him now. And he runs sideline to sideline just like linebackers do, you know, and he does a great job. Just like one play when they did a little reverse, he sprinted all the way down the field to, you know, get near the tackle. So he's got that mentality. He doesn't give up, and he's flying around. That's a great thing for him.
Let's talk about one area that I know that you'd worked on throughout the week, but I thought the old gremlin of the snaps not being exactly accurate, even though, you know, Caden did a great job, he was having to go a little bit too far left and right to pull him down. And I love the quote that he had, though, that said, hey, part of that is on me, that he and Zane are very tight, very close. And at some point, you got to trust that their chemistry is going to kick in and fix that thing.
Well, no doubt. What we've been doing all this week also, we're spending about 8 minutes, you know, during practice time where it's just them one-on-one snapping each other and that type deal. Because, you know, when you face a team that are going to do some blitzes and things like that, like we've seen in the past, and you got to get the ball out in a hurry. If it's off one way or the other, that throws your quarterback off. But I like the fact that our quarterback, because that's one thing I always preach to them, even if you throw a perfect pass and they drop it, you take the blame for it. You don't put it on anybody else. And I think that's what he's showing with the center. Don't worry about it. We'll get it fixed and that type deal. But those are things that can hurt you down the road, you know, in a big game if you have some bad snaps, and that's something we definitely got to get fixed.
How improved is Julius Howard in taking the load in that backfield?
I think Julius is doing a great job. You know, he's running the ball well. You saw his first two carries. You know, we put in a special play on them and getting in some tight formation and being able to run. But he's done a lot better job taking care of the football and running. And, you know, we also put Brian Darby back there some, you know, to have him back. But, you know, it's one of those things that, like I tell guys all the time, you got to be ready to step in, ready to go. And I think Julius has done a great job with that.
You know, it's really easy to single out the talent that carries the load. You've got the Julius in the backfield is going to get a lot of pub. You've got also, I think, Price is having just a breakout year as a receiver. Such an athlete reminds me of the Detron Lewis of Consol past. But I tell you, the one unsung hero, got one on offense, one on defense, I wanted to bring up. To me, most improved last year to this year, Valen Jones has come into his own, and he is as equal a threat as some of those other guys are right now.
Well, no doubt. You know, he's that guy that's the inside receiver that he's got great moves. He runs good routes. And what I really like about Valen, after play, when there's a scramble, he knows how to adjust and get with the quarterback and on that. But he's making big plays, and all that does is just help you down the road. Like we told him, going into the game, you know, a lot of teams are double-teaming Devin and taking away Darby and things like that. That opens up your slot. Now teams are going to be worried about him. That it just makes it even better for all four receivers out there.
And on the other side of the ball, we've had Mikael Williams, you have high expectations of. We talked a lot about Josh Ellison, but again, year to year, the name that goes right up to the top of my list as emerging as that defensive leader has to be Bryce Linder.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Bryce Linder's been very impressive, not only just the interceptions, but how he comes down and runs support and lights up those guys in the running game. He's done a tremendous job. And what the great thing is, you know, all the guys in secondary, they're all young guys. They're all juniors, so they've got that learning together and doing things, and I think they're doing a pretty good job. But I think you hit it right on the head. Bryce Linder's been that leader in the secondary right now. When you look at the number of interceptions he's had and the number of tackles, you know, he's doing a great job.
You know, year to year when you scout the opponent, and which is the case when people are looking at consolidated, they single out a Bryce Linder. He finds a way to get to the ball, but they'll start chunking away from him. And right now he's one of the leaders. He's tied for the lead in interceptions in district, and that's always a problem you have there. Lee, I want to go back, though, a little bit to the penalties on the two-point conversion. I got to think you were irritated. I mean, I don't have to look at you very long over there on the sideline that you got to contain it and keep your team in check, but how frustrating was that for you?
Well, it was frustrating, but like I tell the guys all the time, we're not going to badmouth officials and this and that. You know, the one holding call that they called on Reed Francis, it was a pancake block. You know, he just drove the guy to the ground, and that's what they threw the flag on. And, you know, we did see on film where the guy did step out of bounds on the touchdown that they scored. And then, you know, they go for the two-point conversion. Two guys were in motion. There was no flag thrown. But, you know, I'm never going to badmouth officials. It's one of those things I told guys, you just can't let it happen to you. Don't let it affect you, and you got to keep competing. But, you know, we scored both those two-point conversion, and we get penalties, bring them back, and so we went ahead and stayed with it, and we dropped a ball in the end zone that we should have got on the two-point conversion. But like we tell guys, that's part of adversity. You just deal with it, you move on, you keep working hard and do the good things.
And, Coach, one other observation before we shift over to our opponent for this week, and that is that you got your heart has to go out a little bit, though you're competitors. You do have a lot of respect for John Bolfing. Anytime you have a team that does so many penalties on that crucial drive of 60 yards worth of penalties in one drive, what was happening out there in your mind?
Well, I think it was one of those things, you know, they were just trying to wrap up on tackle, and there was a lot of face mask in there and that type deal. But I think Coach Bolfing's a great coach, and I know that was frustrating to him because, you know, when you're giving up penalties like that, you're just moving down the yard line. It don't matter what plays you're running, you know, it was just happening. But like I told our guys, and one thing I do like what the officials told, they liked how our guys were helping guys up, and there was no, you know, talking bad or anything like that. Like we tell them, when penalties happen, you got to be ready to get up on the ball and be ready to go.
Coach, we're going to shift attention now to a team that is undefeated rolling in here. And I kind of like that, actually. You have an opportunity to put a little Lamar on their record. It is Lamar, Consolidated Mustangs, as they roll into Tiger Stadium. Mustangs on a roll at 2-0 in district, 5-0 overall. They come off a win that probably was a little bit closer than what people thought it would be, 35-28 over Rudder. Tell us what you know about Lamar Consolidated.
Well, what I told the guys, you know, here's what's great about this game is they're undefeated. And right now they're ahead of us in district. So if we beat them, we're ahead of them. And that gets us in the second spot, you know, behind Huntsville type deal. And so they're a good football team. They've been winning all their games. They're doing some things on defense that I'll be surprised if they do it against us. But like I told all of our players, I said, when you're 5-0, why are you going to change up things? You know, that type deal. So they're a good football team, and we got to be ready for a good opponent.
You know, I've always told the story about Johnny Tusa and Jefferson Moore. They were winless for about 3 years, but that next year they won a district ball game, caught fire, and went a pretty good playoff run. Teams like this develop a little bit of a swagger and confidence in themselves that sometimes serves as an intangible. I've always thought has been worth at least two touchdowns. So I think that probably mentally they're going to come in thinking they can win that ball game. That's what you would do if you're in that situation.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They're going to come in expecting to get a win, and they know it's going to be a good game. And I always say this, every game's the next opponent, and it's not about their opponent, it's about the way we play, and we just got to be ready to get out there. You know, the other thing I told our guys, this is homecoming. Don't let that be a distraction to you because, you know, when the fans are here for homecoming, they're here to support you, and you got to go out and make it a great game and play the game we are. And, you know, we've got some new wrinkles we're putting in for this to see what they're going to do offensively and defensively, but we know it's going to be a challenge. But, again, we just got to go out and play our game and get the little things, that with the mistakes we made, get them correct.
I'm looking forward to the matchup with our receivers and their secondary. They are tied with Consolidated in interceptions with 9. They play very aggressively, and if you look at the research and how they've done, they're hanging their hat pretty much on what their DBs are doing, and that front line, the interior linemen, that's where they're really thinking, hey, we've got a shot in this thing.
Well, and that's the thing that I brought up. You know, right now they're playing pure man in your face, and, you know, we got the skill guys. I always, as a receiver, when I played, I loved when teams went man because that meant, you know, you had a chance to hurt them. And we may go into this game, and that's the great thing about our running back stuff. If they're going to get up in our face, play pure man, we may throw it 100 times, you know, because we got to do the things to try to hurt them. But, you know, a lot of times when they're in pure man, that tells you they're outnumbering you in the box, so there's no reason to run the ball up in there, you know. So we worked hard this week for pure man, but like we told them, you got to be ready. We may go out there and they get in zone coverage where we got to run the football, and we'll just see what it is in the first couple series, how they're going to play us.
Talk a little bit about the matchup with your defense and what their offensive scheme is, and what's the one player that you kind of got to keep an eye on?
Well, the thing is, I think the one thing they like to do, they're kind of balanced. So, you know, they like to run the ball more than anything, though, because they do the old school buck sweep and things like that. They like to get on their edge, and, you know, their running back's quick. They can get around, move the ball around. But I think the big thing is our defensive line, you know, Josh and them will tell you, they like it when teams think they're going to run the football, and that's where we got to get the stop and make them throw the ball more. And, you know, we're working on a lot of different things in the secondary by different ways that they motion into formations and do some different things, and we put in a few wrinkles on that. But like we told our guys, it's just going out, communicating in our secondary, communicating up front different things we're going to do and be prepared for it.
I got to think the greatest victory for a defense, Coach Hopper's and the guys, just what you mentioned about they're hoping that they run on them, is to put them out of their offensive scheme and force them to do something else. Take away the bread and butter that they've been known for. And, yes, to put up 1,253 yards rushing, that's out in front of the rest of the district. So they've been able to execute it pretty well. I think that's got to be the highest compliment to say, hey, we knocked them off their game.
Well, there's no doubt. You know, when you look at the stats, of course, our offense is leading the district, you know, with the most yards and everything, but it's not in the running game compared to what they do. And so that's going to be our challenge, to stop the run game, because, you know, a team comes in with 1,200 yards rushing, that tells you they believe in what they're doing. They're going to run the football. And like I said, all week long I've seen it in our defense line going with a smile on their face. I hope they think they're going to run on us. We're going to get after them. That's the way we got to play.
This is a truly big game tonight because it does put you in a little bit of a different position toward a playoff run. You got to win tonight almost, so you don't tell the kids that. I do want to talk about one aspect of the game that I know has also been frustrating to you, and that is the special teams. We saw a little bit of a leak last week, some breakdowns there. Tell us how that is progressing in your mind.
I think we're getting a little bit better in it, you know, down in our kickoff coverage. That was our biggest concern, you know, all year long. But I thought we did a lot better job flying down to the football and, you know, getting our kicks. I thought Colby McBurdy did a better job putting ball placement and things like that. And we've made some changes again this week with our depth chart on our special teams, where certain different guys are going to be in there on kickoff. And the big thing that we've got to work on is on our field goals, our extra points, and that type deal. You know, we've got to make sure we hit every one, because you know as well as I do, you don't like going in a game knowing you got to do a two-point conversion to get back into the game or things like that. And so our guys have worked hard. And with this weather this week, you know, we had a five-hour weather delay, lightning alert on Tuesday, but our guys hung out here. We started practice at 7 o'clock, didn't get done till 9 o'clock, and we did a lot of special teams. We've worked special teams as much this week as we've done offense and defense, because that's a phase of the game we got to get better at.
And finally, how does cool weather affect the guys' attitude?
They got a smile on their face, but I'm sure before long they'll be saying it's too cold out there and this and that. And I tell them, remember what it felt like in August. But I can tell you, on Friday after that storm went through, it was real nice being out there. And I heard a couple of them said, can we practice every night at this time? This is awesome. But like we tell them, you got to be ready for anything in the weather, especially in the state of Texas. You never know. It may be 40 degrees tomorrow, or maybe 95 degrees tomorrow. Just got to be ready to play.
As a player, did you ever complain about it being too cold?
You know, what I was talking to our trainer the other day. I still remember my senior year when we were getting ready for the state championship game. It was snowing, you know, here, and Coach Rogers did not allow us to wear anything but shorts and T-shirts, and we were out there in the freezing cold. But when you're playing that late in the season, we didn't care what the weather was like. It was great. And I'm one of them guys, I want it to be 120 degrees, or I want it to be, you know, below 10 degrees. You know, I don't like it 72. I want it to be freezing or burning hot.
Coach Rogers is a cruel, cruel guy. I think we all know that. No, just kidding. One of the best we know. Hey, Lee, it's always a pleasure. And once again, big game coming up. It's the Mustangs of Lamar Consolidated, and they're rolling into Tiger Stadium. A look at your starting lineups, the kickoff. It's all coming your way next as game night coverage of Consolidated Tiger football continues in a moment.